Morning, everybody. Welcome to the Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu. And it's brought to you, of course, you know, by Amstel Malta. Today, we are going to conclude the discourse that we had with Captain Blade on Saturday, talking about security issues. And I think I have him on phone now. Captain, Capi, morning.
Morning, sir. How are you today?
Hey, Capi, how are you? How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm fine.
Thanks for Saturday and then letting us take part of your time. There's something you are putting on there. Maybe you should put off the radio.
It's off now. I was listening to the program before.
Okay. Yeah, I know. How are you?
I'm good.
Okay, let's get down to business, because if I have an extra hour with you, I see it will still not be enough for the questions I want to ask you. Now, okay, so we have the crisis going on in Kaduna. We have the threat going on in Abuja. But you know that after Abuja, the next capital of Nigeria, whether you like it or not, is Lagos. So let's pin it down to Lagos. Number one, what are the security risks you think we are facing in Lagos?
Our security risks are one. There are too many municipalities in Lagos. The Aberos are there, the MOTs are there, the you mention it. So because of this, there's a lot of frustration in Lagos. We are stoking a fire in Lagos. Okay? And when you have angry people, the things that will actually, how do I put it now, conflagrate them will be very little. Lagos is like an overblown balloon. A small thing now can deflate it. Yes, you cannot move for 10 meters. You will see one frustrator standing on the road in Lagos.
Yes.
Either wanting money from you for having a well in your house, or they're having money. Can you just mention it? Okay. So that is basically going to be a very, very good incubation point for a conflagrating Lagos. And as I said yesterday, these people will just cash out on the confusion to start their own. They're just looking for now, they may be dormant. For now, the threat may be dormant. But Lagos is creating the conducive environment, albeit unwittingly, for this virus, if you like, to see room to germinate, because they and they will feel part of it if the need arises. So if lawlessness becomes the order of the day in Lagos, they will spring their own acts of lawlessness, then dare the authorities to single them out when others are doing their own and getting away with it. That's where we are right now, and I hope somebody is listening.
I hope so too. Also, my mind, whether we like it or not, is on what I consider the invasion of Lagos by these motorbike drivers. A lot of them, I'm sorry to say, don't look like your ordinary citizen.
Of course. You see, Uncle Jimmy, let me just help you there. When you see an Okada driver, you may think you are looking at a northerner, as in something from northern Nigeria, and that's okay. It's just like myself. I couldn't be able to discern between the Ijesha man, the Ilesha man, or the Ilaje man, and the Ifo man. Yoruba language has like 27 dialects.
Yes.
Good. The same thing with Hausa language. Hausa language has dialects cut across West Africa. So if I sit down and I listen to someone from Kano speak, I know this is a Kano man. I know this one is a Nasarawa man from Lafia. And if I hear the Zabomari speak, the Zabomaris are from Niger or thereabout. I know this one. If I hear the Kanuri man speak, I know his Hausa too. If you hear a Tapa man speak, his Hausa is also distinct. So these ones that I'm talking about, when you look at them, from the texture of their hair, you know that these ones are not even Nigerian.
Wow.
They have curly hair. And when you speak to them, most of them don't even understand Hausa anyway. Yes, there are some you run into, they don't understand Hausa. They speak even French more than they do Hausa. So basically, if you ask them where are you from, he's most likely going to tell you I'm from Kebbi State. But if you ask him like me in Hausa language where he's from, he dare not lie. He knows you pick him up.
So what is the danger of having these foreign elements amongst us? You know, they are not tagged. They are not profiled. They're just there.
What I'm saying is they are like, you see, we have this thing about the nature of security business or intelligence business. An intelligence operative can be dormant. And when you need him, you activate him. The Israelis are notorious for doing that. Some of all these expatriates you see running around our country, they are dormant agents. They will be activated when the need arises.
Wow.
So beautiful. So these ones too, the threat, could also be dormant. And they are waiting for the conducive environment to be activated. So if you confuse Lagos and everybody is fighting and is frustrated, and for example, we have an uprising where citizens are just frustrated and they go out there and there is confusion like there was during the NSAT. That is the conducive environment for them to actually mingle in and start too. Okay, if you want to understand what I'm saying, don't forget we have contiguous neighbors who are French.
Yes.
Don't forget these jokers are not there causing confusion because there is order in the country. They need an enabling environment to start the kind of thing they want to start. If you go into an organized state or an organized environment and you try to start confusion, you will stand out like a sore thumb.
Yes.
But when there is anger, there is confusion, there is bedlam, you too will commit your own under the shadow of that bedlam and nobody will see the difference. And before you know what is happening, the damage is done. And they are here home with you, activated now, not dormant.
So in the light of what you have just said, which is real, I think the risk is real.
Yes,
what approach do you think the government, the state government, can make to avert, you know, a situation we might be looking at, an unpleasant situation we might be looking at? How can it be averted?
Averting it is simple. When people become conscious of the fact that they are being watched 24/7.
Yes.
Even if they are not good, they pretend to be good. You see, a simple way of putting it is, the way you behave in Lagos is different from the way you behave immediately you land London Heathrow. you change.
Yes.
It's called crime protection through environmental design. EPED. The environment itself compels you to behave. Everybody has this sense of being watched by something somewhere. So if you want to control these people, the first thing they have to do is to make them understand that wherever you are, whatever street, you have to watch. Encourage them to come and register and tell us where you are from. Tell us where you stay. Don't sleep on your bike under one bridge. You know, you see people who sleep on their bike.
Yeah, but Kapi, talking about profiling, which you and I have discussed before, how do you explain that a man who is sleeping on his bike under the bridge, like you said, can then afford the bike? Isn't that a source of worry? Because if a man can't provide a roof over his head, where would he get the money to buy the bike he's riding?
You see, this is how it happens. Cattle is beef. Beef comes through what you call interstate trade or whatever. We bring in cattle from Ilela. We bring in cattle from Demetru. Now, there are people who have to tend to your cattle while you are bringing it in.
Mm.
These boys actually tend to this cattle over a period of days. And coming in from that side, they are what you may call cattle hands. You see them on the trailer feeding these cattle, arranging them. It takes days to do that. When you come in, you are paid for your service over those days. A good number of them now use that to buy a bike.
I see.
So this idea of saying he sleeps under the bridge, he's homeless, but he has a bike. By the time he does a trip, 2-3, he's able to afford a bike. There are people who may not even wait for him to complete the payment. They say, okay, he's hired for chase. You bring half first, then start the business and be remitting every day. So it is actually possible for somebody to be under the bridge, sleeping on his bike, and you'll be wondering how did he buy the bike if he cannot afford a spot to lay his head.
Well, this is very revealing because it's the first time I'm hearing it. And it's a bit of a relief because I had had fears that could it be possible that these people were being sponsored?
No, not to the extent of owning bikes.
I see.
But what you are seeing is even within them, there are those who are genuinely Nigerians. You see a good number of them, the moment they come in, they start a business, they have a stake in being Nigerian.
Yes.
Some of them even get jobs, and before you know it, they will bring their wives.
Hmm. Well, that's...
I'm talking about itinerant. They know they get wives.
Hmm. But okay, maybe extending this also now to the Agbero crisis. How do we also put that in check? It's gradually getting out of hand. Almost every corner of the street you go to in Lagos, there's somebody demanding something. Even if you hire a truck to bring, to even come and pack refuse in your house, is as bad as that. Wheelbarrows, elewa going, you know, all kinds.
Yes.
How do we curtail that? It's almost getting out of hand.
You see, it's up to the Lagos elite now, or what I want to call the intelligentsia, to ensure that there is this popular saying we say Eko ni baje o. Gradually Eko de baje de so, because idiots, cranks, and misfits are now authorities in this state. Nonsense is the new common sense now. Where you see human beings that look like they were dug out from God knows where. They are drunk, they are high on drugs. They come and you just can't do anything about them. Where you even see state government officials ceding their responsibilities to thugs to go and be doing the job while they sit down and allow the boys to handle it. I may be busting bubbles here, but we know in Lagos that it is true. Where you see law enforcement officers have their own thugs, boys, they are the ones that go and make the arrest and do the job and collect what it needs to be collected. So we are feeding Lagos gradually to crank. These days, if you are wise, you don't even argue with them. You don't argue with them. You just try to avoid them.
Yeah.
That's what it's coming to. So, if we don't want a situation where one day you will see a crank become the governor here, we had better start taking Lagos back. The intelligentsia, the elites, they have to do something about it. If not, one day, as elitist as you may think you are, a psycho will come and claim your house. It happened somewhere way back, medieval British history.
Yes.
When an area boy who was fighting for the throne was knighted, And when he was knighted, he's a knight called Malagant. And Malagant one day decided to eye to eye with the throne and say, you know what, if I can go and be conquering territory for you and you have knighted me, then I can as well take that throne.
Hmm.
Yeah, so that dog you are using to do your job, one day he's going to tell you, remove that uniform and let me wear it because I am the job.
Hmm.
We seem to be heading that way.
Okay, I mean, fair enough. I know it's quite frightening. The consequences, just like you, I don't want to imagine. I hope we have not ceded power to them already from the things that we can see around us. I hope that we haven't done that already. But is it redeemable as we speak?
Of course it is. But I must say quickly here that it's not a 24-hour redeemability like everything that is mortal. It takes time. But then how long or how short the time is depends on our will as a people. I'm very sure if we were to count all the agoros in Lagos, there shouldn't be much more in population than those that are not agoro. Yes, if we were to use democracy now. So what are they doing? They just thrive on fear. That's just the problem. They thrive on the fear they create. We must learn to inhibit our fear. I'm sure for every one agbero in Lagos, you count a million Lagosians who are not agbero. So if we were to share them, they wouldn't even go around. That's just where the most potent.
Those of us that are not politicians are not versed in security issues, believe that could they also be waiting soldiers for the political... maybe that is why it is so difficult to handle them, because are they hand in glove with the politicians? Are they?
Of course.
Do you think they could be a standing army?
Of course. They were created by politicians.
Hmm.
But the warning I'm sounding the politicians is, like Madagan did to the throne, one day, these boys will turn around and tell you to leave. Okay, Sumodie, please, it's time for you to get out of that. It's true, I'm telling you. It's a human thing. Human beings will always want to... We were wired to want progress and increase. So the same way the politician wanted increase and decided to use very toxic means to get increase and progress, don't forget that human being you are using, he is also a human being. Okay, he's also a human being, and he's also going to want progress and increase. And one day he's going to have so much of it, he will take yours. So you don't start something toxic because you feel you want to have something. The law of the karmic law says what goes around comes around.
Okay, Kapi, I'll have to take a break, if you don't mind, just for me to pay my dues, run some commercials. When we come back, I would want us to look at the issue of character programming, whether there is any interference in human nature in this country that makes a majority behave the way they behave. Could it be through diet? Could it be through whatever? Because it's a security problem. What I'm worried about is the kind of things that you see people say or do that defy human reasoning. Even some of the reasoning you see out there in the social media, you ask yourself, where's this coming from? So I would like us to examine that. But before I do that, I'd like to take a short break and I'll be right back. Okay, so don't go away, please, Kapi. Okay?
All right, I'm here.
Okay, fine. I'll get back to you. Okay, it's the Daily Digest with Jim Dis. We'll take a short break and then we'll be right back.
Hey.
Listening to Jimmy Dis. Right here on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Yes, welcome back to the Daily Digest with Jimmy Dis. And I have still with me, hopefully. Are you still there, Captain Blade?
Yes, I'm here.
Captain Aliu. Actually, his name is Captain Aliu, but he's known as Aliu Babangida, but he's known as...
call me Captain Blade.
Blade, yes. But I call you Capi. I'm the only one. I'm the only one that can call you Capi.
Yes, you have the exclusive right.
Okay, when I look at the history of my people, some questions occur to me. For example, I ask myself, okay, so the white man came on a boat. He came, he landed. And before you knew it, he was the authority in a land of so many, maybe about 40, 30 of them were on the boat. And he was able to control them, put some in the ship, and begin to ship them out one by one, take them to a plantation nobody knew about, and padlock their mouths and tell them to work in the sugar plantation. The rest is history. But I still see, in spite of our independence and our education, I still see a lot of human behavior in public here that completely confounds reasoning. Now, last Saturday, off air, I was asking you, because I remember you had a program here, I think it was with Sheriff, when you were talking about how people can be programmed and so on and so forth. And I thought maybe I should stretch this issue with you a little bit to ask you, is there any remote publicity, remote possibility that we are, a section of our public are being programmed? And in what ways could that have happened if it really does exist? Can you tell me a bit about that?
Yes, Uncle Jimmy, that's one area I've always had a passion for, particularly given my intelligence background.
Yes.
You see, programming, call it social engineering, if you like, has been with us right from Adam. And if you understand it, then you will know that everything is programming, and programming is everything. Human beings are mind-driven. So your first destination, if you want to control a human being, is to get into his mind. And once you have his mind, every single cell in his body can be controlled. Companies use it for adverts. They are getting your mind by repetitive, auto-suggestive adverts.
Yes.
So the next time you think of a need, you remember their brand. Religion uses it by making you worship constantly on the same day of a particular week. It becomes a habit.
Wow.
That's why the colonialists, both the Eastern and the Western, came through religion. Beyond that, the modern version of programming, don't forget, programming is not ancient, because it's been here since Adam. It has also evolved, has also learned to enter your mind, and beyond entering your mind, it has also learned to program your gene. And that is where nanotechnology comes in.
Nanotechnology?
Nanotechnology, yeah. Can you imagine a spaceship that will be launched and it will go right into your bloodstream and enter your genetic stream and make adjustments? Just imagine me and you were inside a bubble, a very small bubble, and we were in somebody's bloodstream. And we travel in this small bubble that is built like a spaceship, and we go to the heart, we make modifications, we go to the brain, we make modifications, we enter his gene, and we make genetic modifications that will decide how his son will look, think, and behave when he is born.
Wow.
Yes, the world left there since 1958. I here recommend for you Silent Weapons for Quiet War. If you want to read and understand that document, you need the services of an electrician or at least an engineer. Because as I told you, is genetic engineering. It's also social engineering. So basically today, if you have things you eat, but you do not produce, and nobody is ready to tell you the formula that actually involves mixing that thing, hey, my brother, you need to be careful. And if a sample of that thing can be taken to your country, but is not allowed to enter the source country where it is produced, then you should go back. Then you know that that thing has specs.
Wow.
Just like vehicles have specs. That vehicles that have an African spec, Middle East spec, and
American
spec.
Yes.
The same thing, food too, gets spec. Injection too, gets spec.
Could that be why we are invaded with fertilizers and things like that? Do we need to be a bit suspect of those things?
You see, if you don't, let me give you an example that my listeners can bond with. Our grandmothers used to tell our mothers, I don't know if it's true anymore, that the way to a man's heart is through his stomach.
Hmm.
If you don't produce what you eat, whoever produces it controls you now.
Wow.
Yes. If you don't own drugs, whoever produces it controls you. A drug can be administered to you that will repair one and spoil 10. What I mean by repair one and spoil 10, it will heal you of what is disturbing you. But those nanobots in the drug will go in and modify other things.
When you say those nano things, for so it could play on your brain, it could twist anything.
There's nothing nanotechnology cannot do. We've seen nanotechnology being used to produce watermelons that are as big as God knows what. And you've also seen nanotechnology being used to produce poultry products that are bigger than the normal. Traditional chicken, local chicken. You see, nanotechnology can be used both ways, for good things, and it can also be used for bad things. So if I was NSA, for example, by now, I would have a laboratory where I would pay some very hot-headed Nigerian scientists to enter into the nano world and build my nanobot that will counter any offensive nanobot that we find in our nutritional value chain. It can be done.
Do you have any inkling as to whether an attempt has been made to introduce nanobots, like you said, to Nigeria?
Nanobots, as I told you, and auto-suggestion, and you see, these things are so interwoven. Let me give you an example.
Yes.
I won't mention names so nobody sues me. There is a particular program our children bond with so much. If it starts today, Nigeria shuts down. Particularly the youth, the young ones. That program is suggestive. That program has coded subliminal suggestive messages that you imbibe without knowing. And they stay in you dormant until they are activated later by another sound.
Wow.
There is this Manchurian candidate. It's an old thing. Yeah. If you watch it, you know that what I'm talking of has been with us since forever. So that program itself is symbolic. And the symbol of that program itself is the Eye of Horus. Go and Google the Eye of Horus and know what the Eye of Horus represents. So you see, sound itself is a form of programming. The reason being, everything, even a nanobot, is sound vibrating. If you go to the Bible, that's the Quran, kum fire kum. There is light, and there is light. God speaking the way I'm talking, it was a vibrational sound that created whatever it is you call the void and what came out of it. Kum Fayekum is still the same version of B and it is. So what I'm trying to tell you is that that biro you are holding in your hand is sound vibrating at a particular frequency.
Wow.
I will be taking you deep into this thing. What I'm saying is, but I know there are people out there who are taking their head. Place we need to occupy, take Nigeria back as clean as we can, is that place nobody has been to yet. It's called subconscious Nigeria. Hmm. And that's what I alluded to when I spoke on that program and I told you we were being programmed.
Now,
even our politicians are programming us. They program us with hunger. They program us with violence. Today, we are so programmed with this dying, 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 dying now that life doesn't really mean much anymore.
Hmm.
Somebody will come and tell you only 50 people died. That subconsciously, he's saying it even without thinking because he's now used to scenarios where 300, 1,000, 500 die. So when you say 50, you say it's only.
Only 50 people die.
So the same thing with our young ones. They've been subliminally programmed to behave in certain ways that we are beginning to look and say, what is happening? What exactly is happening?
Yeah, because if you look at our young ones, for example, everybody just wants to have money. They don't even think of career. They don't think of any other thing. And that's what would make, for example, young people in public defecate.
I've seen videos that made me want to pee in my pants of children or youth, if I like, who were actually eating bread with feces
as yes.
ritual to make more.
Yeah, Capio. And I'm supposed to be fasting, but... Now you've made me break my fast. Okay, let's skip that. But the worrying, the more worrying videos that I see in TikTok, and I wonder why the government hasn't done something about it. This video,
yes, because as I told you, when you program people, you're either doing it with a positive skew or you're doing it with a negative skew.
Yes,
and it's like hypnotic. Once you are hypnotized, as in you are under a programmer's spell, you are going to do things and even feel entitled about doing it.
Yeah, you know, because I was going to say, I mean, the videos make it the rounds where you find, you know, a group of young boys throwing money on the floor, stamping on it. There was even one I saw, they were in a sitting room, some of the so-called big boys, one was playing football with a wad of money. Knocking his head, and I'm asking myself, do these people think they are normal? I couldn't place it. Full-grown adults, some of them in their 50s, driving the choicest cars, and they were playing with the money, throwing it up. The floor was filled with loads and loads of dollars. And as we speak, this has been going on for only God knows how long, and nobody has made any attempt, to the best of my knowledge, to put these things in check. I think
because as I told you, over a period of time, subliminally, the nation has been programmed. Hey. And that program is encoded with a self-destruct mission.
Hmm.
So it's like being hypnotized. Once you hypnotize someone, what you do is you seize the logical mind, as in you freeze his logical mind and enter the illogical mind. The illogical mind is by far stronger than the logical mind.
Mm.
And that's where you put the suggestions for this programming. He one day he may just snap back on if he's the program and he'll be wondering,
what have I been doing?
There's a book I read which is called The Debriefing of, is it Carla Jones? Something Jones. She was a lady who lost 25 years of her life, even though she hadn't died, because she was under a programming spell. She was a secret agent who was programmed for 25 years. It was her husband when she got married, and she couldn't recall what happened for 25 years of her life. You know, when you marry a man, He wants to know where you went to secondary school.
Yes.
Beyond secondary school. She couldn't remember from a point to a certain point. That's because anytime she was being instructed for missions, she was programmed to go in, she does what she has to do, and comes back and will never remember what she did.
Oh, my God. Well, you have a you have a very good excuse for crime there.
Yes. You are activated. You go do it. When you come back, you are deactivated. So you lie dormant. A phone call activates her. And another phone call, and she forgets. So these things are not new.
Wow.
Even religion does it. It's called dogma. Just believe. Ask no question. So long as it comes from the scriptures, it is correct. That's positive programming. So you can have a better life, a better experience.
Well, Kapi, the techers have programmed me because they're coming in after me. And that's just a joke. But I'd like to thank you very much. You frightened us enough for this morning. I'd like to thank you very much
for your
contribution and giving us a lot of your time to educate Nigerians. We all hope that this country at some point will get better.
And
we can. And it's the likes of you and other people who have knowledge who will contribute to this. So I'd like to let you go so I can find time to listen to what my people have to say about all this. Okay, Captain.
Thank you, sir.
Enjoy your day. We'll talk later in the day. Well, that was Captain Blade. It's a pity I couldn't take calls whilst he's still online because that would confuse our system. But now that he's gone, you can call in to make your remarks. There's no point asking questions because he's not here to answer them. But the usual rules will apply. Call from a quiet place. Mind your language. And you just have 1 minute because our lines are buzzing, I can see. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. Aga Sharif, can I take the first caller, please, if you don't mind? Hello.
Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
I'm fine, Uncle Jimmy.
Who's calling? This Kade.
Yes, my name is Kade Mogaji.
Mogaji, so, yes. Okay.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Uncle Jimmy,
We lost that one. Hello, good morning.
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 Yeah, Uncle Jimmy, good morning.
Morning, sir. Who's calling?
I'd like to run anonymous, please.
Well, okay.
For the Okada guys that Captain Blake spoke about.
Yes.
What I notice is the ones in my area here, in Mafoloko, I live in Mafoloko area here, there are a lot of them. And what I realize is that most of them, these bikes belong to the policemen. Anytime they're into troubles, the policemen would come, seize the bike, and then later give it back to them. That's another problem, a big one. So I don't know, we have to look into that.
Okay, well, I hope the authorities are listening. Hello, good morning. Hello, morning.
Hi, good morning.
Morning, ma. Who's calling?
Yes, this is Adibola from Palm Grove.
Morning, Madam Adibola. How are you?
Yes, very well. Thank you, Jimmy, and well done.
Yes.
Just to say, I have learned a lot from the guests you brought on board.
You know,
it's very sound and grounded. I learned so much by just listening to him. We look forward to having him on air much more with you.
Okay.
Wonderful session. I enjoyed it.
Thank you. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Morning, ma.
Yeah, this is Nkechi calling from Ikoto.
Madam, how are you?
I'm fine. In fact, it's an eye-opener. I've learned so much from what the captain said this morning. And I should have to use it to readjust myself in life because I've never had such talk before, but it is superb. It is very superb. Concerning the area, boys, in Ikotsu roundabout, these boys normally, the police use them to take money from commercial vehicles.
Yes.
I see them. I sometimes wonder. In fact, I had to ask one day why. They said, the one where they give us no, they do. This is where we get our own. We are person they work and I in the chop. And honestly, I pray for this country and I believe we'll get it right one day. Thank you.
Okay, that's one phrase I hate hearing. I mean, I'm just saying this idea of now where person they chop now represent the work, now they chop. These are part of the things that have now been programmed in our brains. And whether somebody is behind it or not, the condition has made it so. A lot of us workers are not paid appropriately. And therefore, we surrender ourselves to beg, borrow, or steal. And steal looks like the most viable option, because if you beg, it might not be given unto you. If you borrow, you might not be able to pay back. But if you steal, in the way Nigeria is structured now, we hope it will change, you're likely to get away with it. Now, this is not to encourage you to steal, because there's always judgment day. But this is talking about the reality on ground. Workers are not well paid and not well looked after. It's not like when I was growing up. I'm the child of two civil servants. My father works in the Ministry of Justice. My mother worked all her life in the Nigerian Post Authority. And they were able to, till they passed, to live what we were programmed to believe then was an easy life. You know, you walk up to a point, you get a housing loan, you build a small bungalow. I grew up in a bungalow, grew up in that kind of environment in Yaba. So our sights were cast. I keep saying my generation, when we were in school, I can't remember any of my colleagues, Fash, all of us, Rexy, all of us were romping around. Even Gwenga Daniel, all of us, nobody talks then about you know, wanting to be rich. Everybody wanted a career. I want to be an engineer, I want to be this, I want to be that. In fact, it was always like from secondary school, nobody would ask you, do you want to be rich? It was like, what would you want to be? Doctor, lawyer, this. It's in recent times I hear you're talking to that. Remember that small boy, Sharif? I wonder where the boy is. I must go and look for that video again. I saw a video sometime last year. The boy had grown up to a particular age, and I suspect that he's been captured by the Yahoo environment. With the walking some stick in his mouth, said he confidently, Mufelo Jache. They asked him, hey, what did you say? He said, Mufelo Jache. You know, these little things. We have a long way to go to fight these vices, and I fear for my country what it might end up being. We'll take a few more calls, and I got to go. The techers are going to be here anytime from now.
Hello, good morning, good morning, sir.
Morning.
Good morning, sir.
Morning.
Yeah, this is Remy.
Yes, ma'am.
You were lucky your generation grew up in the era of Rwanda Mengiti Wonshe.
Yes.
Which wasn't just a mere phrase. But back in our, right in our own days, it's quite opposite. We've been programmed to go after wealth. That is why you see this attitude of, I better pass my neighbor.
Yes.
In an average Nigerian youth these days.
Yes.
I want to appreciate Captain Blade. And I think I would suggest, sir, that you should be part of those who deprogram this present age by coming up with this kind of program on your show from time to time.
Yes, we will do. We will do.
I think Joyce does something similar to that on our shows every time, trying to make us question our thoughts and how we've been programmed over time.
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you very, very much. That's quite encouraging. What I find encouraging is there's this desire. I think we all now believe that surely we can't continue along the path that we move now. We're also going to call on, it will call for sacrifice on behalf of all, a lot of our elite who are more or less into the era of if only mama could see me now. I wonder if you know what that means. People behave as if I wish mama was alive to see I'm a rich boy now. I have four jeeps. I have this and that. We need to diffuse all of that. I tell you, a lot of the guys who take to crime, people say it's because there's no work. No, they don't want work. They want money. They want all the things that you get in life, later on in your life, they want it now. And I don't know whoever did that wicked act to us. You talk to... just go to Benin Republic next door here. The thinking is different. I remember I spent about 2 months in Benin, sometime in my uni days, and I discovered that in those days, whilst the Nigerians were killing themselves wearing wonyosi, the people that I stayed with, living in the Victoria Island part of Benin, they wore simple Ankara way back then. Their minds were simple, living a nice, quiet life. Our own people were wearing it's one you see in those days, drinking champagne. A champagne that's supposed to be a celebratory drink, we now serve them by the cartons in parties. You know, I'm sure that it's Nigeria that is sustaining the viability of the champagne producing companies outside our shores. We got to close it here. We'll be back here tomorrow. Tomorrow is Wednesday. We're going to have Debumi Eki. Eki will be here. Eki is my old customer from way back in Classic, way back then. It can be very controversial, so I have to be on my toes with Eki tomorrow. So Eki is going to be here. On Thursday, I'm going to have Shola Ademilui, the Prince of Ife. I'm going to have him. Shola is my son, even though his name is Ademilui. Don't worry, I created him. One day I'll tell you the story. He's my son, and he's going to talk about his Nigeria. You know, he's under 40, and I'd like to hear what he has to say. We want to bring young people in and see what we can do. On Friday, we are going to have a lecture series. That's what it's going to be, and I will be the lecturer. We are going to look at critically at these current times, critically, especially from our own end, disseminating information, responsibility of the citizenry, you know, at a time like this, the things that can get you into trouble. Remember, the social media never forgets. Never. So if you drop a clanger now, it can be used against you 10 years from now. So we are going to be looking at those issues because we are now entering in what I will call the time bomb era that doesn't make anybody sleep. The government doesn't sleep. The politicians don't sleep. We who are the referees in this game are the ones who have no sleep at all. Okay? So we'll be looking at all those issues critically. I might bring somebody, a resource person, a media person, to experience one. And we'll just look at, you know, the area we're about to go into so that we get to as little problem as usual, as whatever. You know, remember, he who fights and runs away lives to fight another day. We won't put a match to burning fire, burning fire. I'd like to thank Mr. Sheriff. Yes, sir. And I hope you'll be here tomorrow. I hope you'll be here on Friday too.
Yes, sir.
Yes, oh, that'd be fantastic. No. Oh, that's good. That's why I like you.
I said no, I won't.
Oh, you said no, you won't.
Shake me
first. No, I won't. It's so contrary. Okay, the techers are in here any moment from now. Sit back and enjoy yourselves. Don't turn that dial. I'll see you tomorrow at 9. Bye.
Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info.